Hello, sweet world. It is TPN, the Walk On, and you know what? Like every episode, I'm Joel Walkowski. I'm coming to you from my apartment in beautiful Greenpoint, Brooklyn, where I am indeed king of the Polacks. It is a pleasure to be here on the Props Network, talking through an amazing slate of sports. And we're fresh off today's first NBA picks from the Pro Gambler. I had a blast doing that. I got off the air. I told Sammy, this is what I meant to do. And that makes sense because my uncle's got Alex Karras suspended for an entire NFL season. So we are doing it live, and we could not do it without a trusty co-pilot and our good friend Brian Allen Mitchell. You know what? He had a tough weekend with the Browns. He was hanging out with those receivers in a hot tub, so he's off in quarantine. That's what you get for soaking up suds with Mr. Landry. And filling his steed is the able one, the flaxen-haired weirdo himself, fresh off a 4.0 at Vanderbilt University, Donnie Singstack. What up, Don?
Hey, what's up, Joel? How we doing, buddy?
We are doing good. We are breaking even every single weekend, but you know what? I think we're about to break through together, and we're going to do some great work.
I can't wait. We got a lot of college football to look forward to, a lot of opportunities to finally break that break-even streak.
Yeah, and I think we're going to do it. I think at the very least, from this episode, I'm committed to a wager on each of the big six games. I think we share an account with the powers that be over here, so we might as well come to some agreements. And as always, we're going to be joined by our good friend Eli Sayers.
Certainly. And I think if I've got to sit in for Brian this week, I'm not going to pretend like I'm sad the Browns lost still. But I was rooting for them after it was confirmed that Pittsburgh had lost, or after it was confirmed that Pittsburgh had won and the Ravens controlled their own destiny. Everything was happening at the same time. I had to hedge out of a four-way 14-point teaser on that Browns game, and it was a phenomenal weekend to be a Ravens fan, I will say that.
And it was brutal. We are going to get into the Ravens a little bit in my NFL Week 17. I can't believe we made it. We're going to have a great Ravens discussion at the tail end of this show. You can't help feel for the Browns. I mean, these circumstances, a looming game against Pittsburgh's backups, you could kind of see the claps coming. Like, this is Browns football at its finest.
Absolutely. I know for a fact that last season in the same division, the AFC North, Pittsburgh needed to beat Baltimore in week 17. And Baltimore was resting all their starters because they locked up the number one overall seed in the first round bye. And Baltimore's second stringers still beat Pittsburgh. Could play out the exact same way this year. Pittsburgh's second stringers could still beat Cleveland to keep them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying if you are a Cleveland Browns fan. And again, I'm just going to go up. I'm going to try and pull up the Props Network line calculator for this game. Let's just see very quickly where this one is at. I'll pull it up in just a minute here. But yeah, plus 10 against the backups. It's the AFC North. Weird things will happen.
Absolutely. And this actually kept the Ravens out of the playoffs a few years ago. That's why I'm nervous about the Ravens-Bengals game. They lost to the Bengals in a game they needed to win two or three seasons ago when Andy Dalton threw a touchdown pass on 4th-and-12 from the 50 when there was less than 2 minutes to go in the game to keep Baltimore out of the playoffs. Weird things happen in week 17 in the AFC North. I have no idea.
And it's amazing you bring up that Andy Dalton throw, because that inspired a lot of the Buffalo Bills fans to donate to Andy Dalton's charity. And it kind of started a cool Bills tradition where earlier in the season, Josh Allen lost his grandmother. They donated like almost $1 million in her name. And it's such a feel good story in Buffalo. And like, I know it's weird to be a sports fan. Like, when do you become a fan of someone? And this past 24 hours, I gotta say, I think I became a fan for life. I think I'm putting in that Buffalo Bills Super Bowl future because I owe the world to Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's easy to be a fan when either him or Stephon Diggs, they threw some fantasy championships. A lot of money moved because of how good their games were last night on Monday Night Football. Yeah, and I've always rooted for Stephon Diggs because he's a terp.
Yeah, and if you see there, we have the Bills at like 9-1. That's fun action. They've got the blueprint to win the AFC. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to beat Kansas City, but they play that Kansas City style of offense. The defense still, I mean, I'm still waiting on that Seattle-esque transformation, but it's a feel-good story. And not only did Josh Allen give me the best fantasy football experience of my life, not only did he give me 35 points against my lifelong best friend for a rousing come-from-behind victory, he has got a baby on the way. I offered him the money. He said no. But I'm going to get a little vulnerable here with you, Don. Mm-hmm. So I had my first couples therapy today, and I get into the session. I'm with the beautiful Gabby Garcia right here from the pod station. And, you know, there's no trouble in paradise. It's just quarantine changes. We all got some work to do. And I was a little scared. You know what the therapy started the session with?
How good is Josh Allen?
How good is Josh Allen? She led with how likable the guy was. I was on cloud nine about Josh Allen. Not only did he put $200 in my pocket, he's making me feel at ease in like a very, like, it's hard to be a bro in therapy. You can't have big biceps and emotional vulnerability. And she put me at odd thanks to Joshy Boy.
That's was Gabby happy with that opening?
She was. Gabby did say you were a little charming, but I think she's actually listening to this episode right now. I'm not just getting healed. I'm getting a subscriber. But it was one of those beautiful moments where sports truly, they bring us together. They help us over our own bullshit. And I got to be a Josh Allen fan for life now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's he's a very easy kid to root for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm head over heels. This is such a whirlwind 24 hours. If I had it with him in Vegas, we would be married right now. We'd be waking up and going like, okay, I guess we'll give this a try. But what an experience. I need to close Facebook because I'm getting messages from our MLB correspondent, Michelle Neat. I'll talk to you later, you muscle-bound weirdo. But she's a good gal. I like her a lot. Welcome back to New York City and the Props Network. But okay, I need to feel you out on something, Don. I talk about liking Detroit sports. I can't suffer anymore, so I'm making some life choices. My New Year's resolution, I'm being nicer to myself.
Yeah.
And how can I do that? I'm going to start rooting for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm taking them in the AFC, and you know me. Mm-hmm. I got Jags connections. I've been welcomed into the teal community.
100%.
It's time I take that plunge, right?
I don't see why not. I think they've got pieces, and they're about to get the biggest piece that's come out of the draft in a long time. And warmer weather, like similar fan base, similar amount of despair among the fan base. There's a huge connection. There's a pool in the stadium, you know?
I love that. I love, like, any non-contact way of spreading chlamydia. You can find that at Jags games, as you can find our friend Jake's dad. So a lot of great things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think I can do it. So I'm going to root for the Jags because I love Trevor Lawrence. I want to keep rooting for him. We're going to talk about the future, and I want to keep rooting for Kevin Durant. So I'm going to be Nets and Jags. I think if I really play my cards right, I make a convincing case that I could be a fan for both. Am I committing sports bigamy here?
I don't think so. You were a Nets season ticket holder when they were bad. Is that not correct?
That is correct. I was a Nets season ticket holder. I didn't like them when Kyrie was signed, but now that KD's here, I don't know. I want to cheer for these assholes. KD, Trevor Lawrence. They have this thing where they're just kind of like these guys who are better than anyone, but still kind of march to their own drummer, but are kind of pricks. I am here for it. Sign me up for both those teams.
No, I think if you stayed in Brooklyn through the pandemic, you deserve to be a fan of either of any New York sports team. It doesn't matter. Most of them are bad aside from the Knicks or aside from the Nets right now. But if you are currently in New York and okay with everything that's going on there, who cares who you root for? You stayed.
Yeah, I'm going to root for the Nets. I'm going to cheer on their title and watch the city try and figure out their parade route, because Lord knows it can't be in Manhattan. There will be riots. And then I'm going to fly down to Jacksonville with my buddy Bruce Head, go see his dogs, and see a game with Jacksonville's first ever season ticket holder. This is who I am now. There's no sense in rooting for Detroit sports. We're awful. I'm moving on. I'm a bigamist now.
Absolutely. No, I'm all in for Trevor. He even looks like another Jacksonville legend, Tom Petty. They're just just totally go in and sell out everything. It's going to be great. It's a match made in heaven. I can't wait.
It's a match made in heaven. I cannot wait. And you know what? I can't wait to get to this episode. I was excited about it all day. I was doing my research, doing my lines. And because it's a great bowl week. But before we get to Eli Sayers and Wild Wednesday, let's plug the old Props Network. If you go to the amazing website, not only will you see live odds comparisons, you will see blogs every day from young Donnie Sengstack picking every college football game of the week. And, you know, if you go to our YouTube channel, you smash subscribe. There's a lot of great things going on. I'm picking NBA games every single day. And you can see right here, we have our futures calculator for the Buffalo Bills. But let's put in a future to start our conversation with Eli. We're going to go NCAA football. We're going to go player future. And we're going to look at those Trevor Lawrence odds, because I see plus 400, plus 700, plus 450. If you're following this stuff on the Props Network, you see that these lines are moving like crazy. So smash subscribe. Join us for your gambling journey. And now joining us to talk through all of the remaining bowl games is the Wild one, Eli Sayers.
Hello, what up? Hi, Donnie. Oh, hi, Joel.
Welcome, Eli.
It's great to hear that your couples therapy is going well, Joel. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fulfilled by, you know, you want to just do your best in this world. If we only have time to work on ourselves in quarantine, I got no excuse.
Why not, you know? Why not?
Truly. Truly the start to this episode and segment I envisioned. But okay, so
I'm excited, man. This is a good week.
And let's start by, let me pull it up one more time. These Heisman odds are pretty wild.
So you're saying, well, that's good. We like it wild here. You saying you trying to get people to throw some money on Trevor here?
I threw money on Trevor. I
can see it. I think he doesn't deserve it, but if the two people who deserve it, Devontae Smith and Mac Jones, get the vote split, then you know it'll go to this bum.
Yeah, and like
it'll be a lifetime. I think we already talked about it. It's like Scorsese getting The Departed. It's like okay, here's your career achievement award, even though this year isn't.
Yeah, it's just that kind of movement, moving from 27-1 to 5-1 in 48 hours. Something tells me that by the time this award is announced, that line's going to keep moving.
So, but it's not changed. Like, the votes are already in. So all we can do now is speculate.
But I think it's because word is getting out about a possible split vote between the great Alabama candidates. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's worth a $10 flyer. We're in the business of sprinkling some shekels over here at the Props Network. And at 5-1 for the best player in the country, not bad.
Yeah, for one of the top six players in the country, that's a pretty good odds. Yeah.
Well, so what would compel someone to vote for Smith over Jones or Jones over Smith? Like, what's the big deciding factor in the Heisman vote there?
Well, Smith, Mac was the forerunner for the longest time. I think Smith, people finally started to note just how many catches he was getting and how amazingly. And then there was talk of, I think people started to get excited about the prospect of a receiver finally getting it again. So I think people all just, I'm fine with either one. They have different set of skills they bring to the table. I don't know. It seems like Mac had the momentum going into it. Not Mac, I'm sorry, Devontae.
Devontae had it locked up the night of the SEC championship game, but this is college football here. And we just saw Notre Dame get inducted to the playoff because really voters decided before the season they belong there. And isn't it likely that Trevor Lawrence is an ideal candidate? Like,
yeah,
he campaigned for college football to come back. Like, there's an argument he deserves it for that alone. So,
well, a few people did that. Justin Fields did that too.
Strange.
Well, he got COVID.
Yeah, he put his money where his mouth is. Yeah. See, that's what Justin Fields didn't do.
He didn't have the opportunity. He didn't have as many games to do it because Trevor didn't have all lights out games either. He's great. Here's the thing. Clemson, I think, is going to win the championship this year. So I'm already just kind of upset about that. So I don't really care about I expect Trevor to get the Heisman and it just to be the fucking freaking sorry. Just be a big, big, dumb Clemson fest.
Yeah. So let me pull up those futures here right now for the championships. So I was going to do this later in the show, but before we get down to business and break down all these games, here are the odds as they currently stand.
The odd futures?
No, these are the Heisman futures, the national championship futures. We see Alabama is a pretty prohibitive underdog.
Against two.
They're minus money, so not really an underdog. They're getting, it's bad odds.
I don't know how the game will speak.
So if with Alabama, you'd have to bet 154 to win 100.
Stupid.
And it kind of makes sense to take Clemson here. If you can go over to BetMGM, get them plus 270.
We talking against Ohio State?
No, this is for the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I think Clemson's going to win it. I would do that. I don't like recommending that. But, I think Clemson's probably going to win it all this year. It sucks.
Certainly the best value of any of the four teams is on Clemson. Like, by a lot.
You talking about value as in, like, money and, like, gambling? Potential? Yeah, I think so. If you're a smart gambler, yeah.
That's
if you're a good person who's going to heaven, you root for Alabama.
That's where the juice is, and we're going to talk about those games in depth. I think Donnie actually has the best idea to get money from those games. I can't wait for the listeners to hear it. But before we do, we were unfortunately correct last week. Liberty took down Coastal Carolina.
They did.
And before we say goodbye to our friends, the Chanticleers, I just want to say that in an awful year that we saw teams scrambling, we saw players opting out, their invitation out to BYU and that Saturday night game with 60 hours of planning.
And BYU's acceptance of it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what sports is all about. That's my favorite sports memory of this entire year.
That was game of the year. None of these championship games are going to be as good as that game was.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Coastal, like, they found themselves in a situation where you're so good, you're so notable that, you know what, you go from Cinderella to someone with a target on your back, and that's where they were for Liberty on Saturday night.
Midnight strikes for everyone. And you know what? People are still going to be talking about Coastal Carolina next year. People don't care.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't think this matters. Bowl games are great, but it's dessert, man. It's like, it sucks. I would have liked them to be undefeated, but for me, ain't much is tarnished about about Coastal Carolina's season in my book, if you ask me. Liberty's a great team too, though. No.
It was a bad first quarter for Coastal, and that's it.
Yeah.
It was they could not stop Malik Willis in the first quarter, who I think could be playing on Sundays.
And that fourth quarter was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Great stuff.
And that was Saturday night. That was ending just as Dolphins Raiders was ending. I mean, if you're quarantined, that's as good as it gets right there. That's the peak of your year.
Yeah, who won that game, by the way, Joel?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The Dolphins, huh?
Ryan Fitzpatrick won the game with his neck in a brace. It was the most amazing throw I've ever seen.
Yeah, and we will see. Maybe Tua is not the best quarterback at Miami. Maybe he's not the best quarterback from Alabama's national champions. Why did I say Miami? Because that's where he's currently not playing.
What are you
playing.
Talking about? National champion? No, he's every bit as good. He's better than Joe Burrow and all of them. We'll figure it out.
You'll
get a Super Bowl ring, and I'm gonna remind you about this. I'm gonna feed you some crow.
Yeah, Eli's on the record, guaranteed.
The Dolphins
this year.
Are winning the Super Bowl this year under Tua.
No doubt about that. Book it now. But before we get into the Miami Dolphins' inevitable Super Bowl run, let's go through all these bowl games. And just one quick caveat: we're recording on Tuesday night. There's a few games. If you're wondering where they're at. We did them last week. They are on TPN The Walk On or the Props Network's YouTube channel.
I think Derek King just got hurt.
Derek King just got hurt, huh?
Yeah, and I think Miami was getting beat pretty good, pretty handily last night when I left to come over here.
Yes.
Okie State was beating them pretty handy. Miami finally got a touchdown, but I just seen that King got helped off the field, I guess, so I hope he's okay.
Yeah, and it is a shame he's coming back for another year. Miami couldn't quite get it done, and luckily I did avoid that game. Our first bowl game we're going to talk about, I actually love. It's the Arizona Bowl. Ball State, they're 10-point underdogs straight off of what I thought was a kind of fluky MAC championship victory, and they're facing San Jose State. I love San Jose State here. I think they're probably the best bet on the entire slate so far.
I mean, they're definitely going to win. What's the spread, though? You think they'll cover?
10 points.
I don't know. Ball State's been a team that is a little bit full of surprises this season. No one really expected that, and they have been good. I think that Buffalo is better than them, and that they. I think Buffalo wins that game 7 out of 10 times. But
and that Buffalo game was actually very similar to the Coastal Carolina Liberty game. They just, the better team fell down early. They tried to get out of the hole, but that's just not how their offense is meant to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
But right here, this is by far the best defense Ball State has played.
San Jose State's really good.
And, you know, Drew Plitt, he has a lot of trick plays. He has a great completion percentage, but a lot of that's because they have good running back plays. Their running backs are out of this one. So I think that puts them up against the San Jose defense that, frankly, destroyed Boise State in the Mountain West Championship. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think they're going to score about 35 to 42 points. I don't think Ball State's going to be able to match them at all.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ball State covers.
Okay.
But I'm not confident enough. I think you're probably right.
Well, I did. Here's what if you're watching the stream right now, here's what I did. I bought a point on Texas because you got to bet on Texas in the Alamo Bowl. And then I bought 3 points on Ball State. I bought them down to 6.5. So I got both of them, you know, with a couple points in my favor at like plus 200 odds.
This might be my MAC bias.
Yeah,
this might be me just trying to hype the MAC up.
No, I do think the Mountain West was a better competition in the Mountain West than the MAC this season.
Possibly, I don't know.
I think so.
I think Buffalo is as good as anyone in Mountain West.
I agree, but the MAC was kind of top heavy with the good teams.
I don't know. I mean, like, Akron was better than I expected. Not Akron. I'm sorry.
No, Akron was terrible.
Toledo was good. In each division, there was at least, like, it was better than I thought it would be. There was, like, there were more good teams in the MAC than I expected, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if the offense is suddenly more predictable, if we've seen this defensive line dominate, like, a team that probably has better linemen than Ball State...
Yeah, San Jose State's going to win 100%.
Yeah, so I'm all over San Jose State here. Could be a money line game for me if I'm feeling freaky. My fiance just walked in. I tried rearranging the furniture, and I can tell she doesn't like it. But let's move on. Oh, and if you're following the stream, get on that Texas thing. It's the Alamo Bowl. Come on. Next up, the Texas Bowl has been canceled. I guess they read Texas's old tweets. Come on, everyone, we're all comics here. Can we go around? Everyone does a hacky Texas Bowl being canceled joke.
Wait, what was your joke?
They read it Texas's old tweets.
Oh no. Yeah. I won't think of one right now. I'll probably think of one 12 minutes from now, and I'll interrupt you talking.
That sounds perfect.
Just as long as you're cool with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. You guys interrupt me whenever you want with your Texas is canceled. The entire state, if you're there, I'm sorry. You got to move. Bring Beto over to my place. So that's done. And let's get into the Big Six. This matchup's awesome. The Peach Bowl, Cincinnati at Georgia. Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite. What do you guys think?
Oh boy, I'm going back and forth on how wild I should get here. I don't know. I don't want to be contrarian because I just put up a fight for Ball State, but I was just being biased for the MAC. I don't know if I might get wild and call Cincy straight up to win this.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, I'm in my wild mode.
So I was also thinking about Cincy straight up, but it's kind of a story of two teams trending in different directions, because Georgia's been really good the last two games, and Cincy has struggled in their last two games.
That's true. I do think that Georgia is a lot of players are sitting. They have the on-paper talent, obviously, that is better than that. Kirby Smart is a moron. You have to keep that. Great recruiter, but a moron in-game coach.
And terrible record in bowl games.
And looks very stupid and has a stupid bowl haircut, too. It's the best bowl he should ever be allowed in here.
And let's give the caveat to our listeners, to our viewers, that this is a line you really want to shop for, because between 7.5 and 6.5, it's quite a bit of difference. If it's 7.5, frankly, I like Cincinnati. If it's 6.5, I'm going Georgia. So this is an important one to shop around. I think this game is interesting because if you look at the advanced stats that measure general power rankings, offensive and defensive efficiency, these teams are identically ranked across the board.
Which one feels disrespected right now?
Oh, absolutely Georgia. Georgia is furious.
Georgia doesn't care. Georgia sucks and they know it. Sucks as in, like, you know, you're supposed to be a big powerhouse and you lost, like, whatever. But I think Cincy is going to come with a chip on the shoulder, and Georgia might just be kind of, like, deflated.
It's exactly what happened. Well, it could be like
UCF Auburn, kind of, that when Auburn was pretty good that year.
Right. And there has been a game like that Georgia Texas game a few years ago when Georgia felt snubbed from the playoff and Texas came in and Sam Ehlinger
beat them. Yeah.
Ran all over them and shouted, "We're back," and everything. And
Georgia, some teams get angry. If Georgia can get angry, sure, but it seems like they get pouty and that doesn't win games.
But all this is kind of predicated on Georgia, as we know them, with Stetson Bennett IV as this kind of run-heavy team. Because the fact is, these teams are very similar, but that doesn't take into account that they looked like a completely different team against Missouri. JT McDaniel actually gives them like a vertical threat. So if they're actually able to implement that game and have an offense that's kind of they're kind of hard to prepare for right now, because the offensive system is so in flux. And I think that's really going to favor Georgia in a game that's being played in Georgia.
Yeah, without a doubt, dude. I'm being a complete imbecile here, but I still think that Cincy's going to win. And I think that Cincy's one of their strengths is their secondary. So I think that's going to be an interesting matchup, seeing a new quarterback versus it's going to be the best secondary he's faced. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And here's the deal.
Joe, I'm telling you, you're right. And me and Donnie just being wild boys. It's Wild Wednesday. I'm being wild. I'm calling Cincy to win this.
Yeah, the thing that scares me the most is Georgia's is the unpredictability factor and the two recent games where Georgia absolutely smoked two. I mean, I think Missouri is a decent team.
They are a decent team with a good quarterback.
I think they're very solid and they had a reason to play against Georgia and Georgia stomped them.
Yeah. Georgia's good. They're good. And they're better than they were at the beginning of the year, probably. But,
yeah.
And we're going to win.
And we respect the Cincinnati offense,
right? Bet against them. Bet on Cincy to win straight up.
Yeah. But we respect Cincinnati, right? Cincinnati, no matter how this game goes, we all know Georgia has a great defense, but Cincinnati's going to score some points, right?
Yeah.
So the over in this game is 50.5. I actually like Georgia money line tied to the over at +170 odds.
Okay.
I think that's a great number for this game. And I don't think that line is taking JT McDaniels into account whatsoever.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll see.
So yeah, I like Georgia and the over.
Yeah, that over sounds pretty likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strong bet.
Yeah, take the over. Like, I might stagger that, you know, like I'll take the over. I'll take over in the Georgia points, and then I'll take over in the Georgia money line. Like, do three $10 bets on each, and then hopefully rake in the money from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could absolutely see that. I mean, in the last two games with Daniels, Georgia has put up 49 and 45. So, I mean, that's
against Missouri and who else?
He's South Carolina.
Yeah.
We'll count the Missouri one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is not a, hey, be nice to South Carolina. That's a bowl team, all right?
Wait, what?
That was a bowl team this year.
Yeah, their coach also had a stupid looking bowl cut.
Oh my gosh. Stop talking about people's bowl cuts. And
I hate, okay, we're canceling the bowl cuts? Like even Texas's?
Yeah, there were only two stooges. Sam's over there just steaming mad right now. What's he talking about?
Oh, I'm doing the thing. I actually disobeyed him. I gotta stop. I keep holding the mic up.
Oh, I thought you said 40 F-bombs.
I said one F-bomb, but I caught myself earlier.
It's 80% less. It's not a moratorium. Donnie, you're allowed to swear as much as you want because I think it's cute.
Yeah.
He'll definitely be able to. Joe, you got a big laugh from Sam over here. I'm over here dropping these gems. What do I get from Sam? I get yelled at.
Yeah, Donnie, give us a darn it all.
Yep. Happy New Year, everybody.
I like Cincy. I hope they win. That'd be cool.
No, the Grinch is showing up.
No, it always happens. Like life always happens like a happy movie.
Yeah. I don't think so. The only happy movie we're seeing is Safety, the movie about the Clemson defensive back who raised his orphan brother. I'm watching that tonight. I'm going to text you all about it, Eli.
Please.
Okay, so let's move on. We got to get our vitamin C, and we're going to get it at the Citrus Bowl. Northwestern, my nemesis, is facing your nemesis, Auburn, +3.5.
I'm rooting for the apocalypse. I'm rooting for stadium to sink into the earth and get only the coaches and higher ups. I like the players. The players are okay. What are we talking about? Oh, Auburn. Yeah, I think Auburn will probably win this. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Auburn money line plus their team total. Dude, their team total is only 20.5, and they're probably like, it's kind of similar to Georgia where you haven't, like, it's a different coach. Who knows what they're going to what they're going to run, but you know they'll be more talented athletically than Northwestern.
They run because Tank Bigsby is a great running back. One. And Gus did not use him as much as they should because he believed in stupid Bo Nix.
No, Tank is great. And how did Ohio State come back against Northwestern last week? Trey Sermon ran for over 300 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you have to do to beat Northwestern. That's Auburn's strength. Tank Bigsby is a man. He is going to run all over Northwestern. And if at the very least, Auburn will be able to control time of possession. They'll be able to run up and down the field. And I think they beat Northwestern outright.
I think they will if Bo Nix can get it together to be a competent quarterback. Sometimes he can. Sometimes he can't. But if the passing game doesn't open up, I do think Northwestern's defense is enough that Tank wouldn't be able to do quite enough. But if the passing game opens up even somewhat, I'm pretty sure Auburn's going to – yeah, I think Auburn will cruise. Not cruise. I think it'll be a fight, but I think Auburn will win.
And this is kind of a fun line that they place because it weighs so heavily the nightmare that Northwestern was for gamblers this year. They killed so many parlays throughout the season before they eventually got taken for real. They kept proving people wrong, and like, they're placing this line and they're kind of begging you to take Auburn here. They're betting on Northwestern one last time. But again, this is the highest like cover percentage of any bowl matchup. Auburn and Northwestern, they cover every week. I'm taking Auburn here.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything good about Auburn, I guess, but, you know, listen to your boy, your boys, Joe and Johnny.
Okay, don't even say anything about Northwestern. Like, close your eyes, answer immediately. Northwestern versus an SEC team. Who you got?
Well, the first team that came to mind was Vandy, and so that made me,
God,
made me hesitate a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Northwestern, I think you're selling Northwestern a little short, Joel. I think you're selling them a little short. I think I agree with you overall, but I think you're – I think you're slightly underestimating them.
Yeah, but selling Northwestern short is what I've done with you for 3 months. It's working, baby. I'm shorting these Wildcats.
Ohio State was their big game. They don't care about beating Auburn.
Yeah. The quality of athlete in Auburn is going to be the trenches belong to the Tigers in this one.
Defensive line will be, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Auburn.
I can see that. I think their defense is probably better than Ohio State's.
And I could see it being like a recipe for disaster if it was still Malzahn, but with a new coach in the picture, it's going to be a really like kind of inspired program. Like we've been tracking it this year. The dead cat bounce is real if you don't follow the Detroit Lions. Okay, so let's move on. We are finally here, guys. I'm talking the Rose Bowl. Alabama Crimson Tide. They are playing a playoff. What is technically a playoff team, I guess. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Notre Dame is 20-point underdogs. Do they have any chance to cover this?
To cover it? Yeah. You know, I've been betting against the spread with Bama all season. I predict I predict like 42-28. I don't know, something like that. I think we win by two touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't think it's close.
Yeah, and so every team has failed to contain Alabama. Alabama scores 45 points a game. Do we think Ian Book's getting to 28 points? That's the question you got to ask yourself here.
I don't think he's getting further than 28 points. I'll say that. And I think Bama can put up 35 without a doubt. Even though Notre Dame, you know, they got a D, you know, and Notre Dame is going to run on us. Bama's defense is improved, but they're still soft, man. They're soft. And that's just how it is now, I guess. There just aren't these elite powerhouse defenses to speak of anymore. But yeah, Notre Dame's going to run on us. They're going to have possession a lot because of that. So I think it's going to take a while for separation to actually happen, but I think it will, and you know, Bama will win by a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, and in that, like Notre Dame, their defense wasn't as bad as they seemed in that Clemson game. It's just Clemson, their skill players, they broke a lot of tackles. And
if you can contain ETN, and when ETN and Trevor Lawrence, if they are both on, you're not going to beat Clemson.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily going to always be on, though, as we've seen from this season. This is an elite team. You know, I think they and Bama are the best teams in the country. But it's Clemson, I don't know. I don't think they're quite as good as they were the last couple of years. But I still think they're going to win the title.
Okay, right. So this question's for Donnie, I suppose. If Clemson were to have played Notre Dame tight in their rematch,
yeah,
what would the spread on this be?
I would put it closer to probably 10, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you put it right around double digits if that game was close, but Clemson won by about a touchdown?
Yeah, because if I don't think Alabama's any better than Clemson. I didn't see anything from Notre Dame versus Clemson. But yeah, it seems like 20 is too much for me to want to get down on. So yeah. You actually had a good idea for how we can make money New Year's Day.
Right. 100%. I do see Alabama scoring a lot because if it's one thing, speaking of Vanderbilt, Eli, Vanderbilt's new head coach is Notre Dame's defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So they're losing to DC.
Clark,
but maybe Brett Venerable steps in for Notre Dame.
as soon as Vandy hired Clark Lee, he gave up 34 to Clemson. But also, Notre Dame's D has not been great. I mean, so they played Clemson. I gave up 34 to Trevor and 40 to the other kid, the Hawaiian kid, I think.
Tua.
No.
Mariota?
No.
Johnny Aloha.
No. Clemson's backup quarterback.
Oh, okay.
They gave up 40 to him in South Bend. They also gave up 31 to Boston College and 21 to a terrible Syracuse team. Like, that defense, you can score on them easily.
Yeah, I hear you.
And for that reason, I think Alabama can score enough to cover pretty much anything. But if you think that Bama can win by two touchdowns, which I think is easy, if you tease that number down, you can get Bama minus 13.5, and you can get Clemson at basically a pick 'em. And I think that's the best play of the college football playoff is to just tease both the favorites.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I'm behind that 100%. The 7-point tease. I don't know. If we just want to put an epitaph on the Notre Dame Clemson Alabama game. Every year following the NFL draft, I see Notre Dame defenders getting picked who are usually D linemen or linebackers. the secondary is not as good as their other defensive units. And against what is another like historic Alabama receiving corps, I think they're going to be overmatched.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that play. Let's talk the Sugar Bowl. And do we have those lines up? Yeah, we do. We see that Ohio State is a 7.5-point dog.
Wow.
And that scares the shit out of me.
Wow. Oh, quick addendum, Joel. I agree with you on Oklahoma, Florida now. I think I didn't realize that Pitts was sitting, and I think another receiver, I think Grimes might be sitting for Florida. So just in case I didn't change it then, I agree with you and you're correct. What do you think about this? Do you think Ohio State can – I think Clemson's going to win this, but 7.5?
I think Ohio State needs to go up the highway, bust into Kevin Stefanski's office, borrow one of those Nick Chubb play scripts, and just play that kind of running back dominant like offensive game. That's the way for them to win this.
Yeah. If Justin Fields has to be on, he can't. And he knows that. And look, I think Dabo ranking them number 11th, that's some bulletin board material right there. I think Ohio State is mad about that.
Well, don't you think Dabo knew what he was doing? Like, he must have done that with good reason to kind of
get
underneath their skin. It seems like he wouldn't have done that if he was like, oops, did I give them bulletin board material? Like, I don't think he cares.
I think he's such a sloppy-minded moron that he just kind of he can't help himself. Like, he has to be like, no, I'm the best right now. I think it was petty a little bit. And I don't care either. Like, who cares where he ranks them? And maybe he thinks that they're alone. I don't care if he thinks they're on the team. It's probably nothing strategically. Probably it's fine either way. But if he was looking at it as a positive strategy, he is more of an imbecile than we all thought.
Yeah.
And there's three things that scare me about this game. Number one, that Dabo stupid bulletin board material. We have the most obvious situation for a Justin Fields just bounce back game after he's being disregarded with so much on the line here.
He'll be fresh off not being invited to New York for the Heisman.
And then we have the play of running backs for Ohio State last week. I mean, there's a blueprint for Ohio State to win this game. And
they could. I hope they do. It would be so funny if Ohio State won this. I don't think they will, but man, that would be awesome.
I mean, if we want to go through it, Clemson kind
of... Hold on, Joel. Usually I'm a little more wild. Are you about to get wild? Are you about to try to call OSU straight up here?
I'm on the tees, but I think OSU is winning this game. They owe Clemson a victory.
I like it. Woo!
I mean, where do I go to school? I'm not betting on Ohio State. No, I'm betting on Clemson. I'm betting on Trevor Lawrence because I'm from the great city of Jacksonville, Florida, and I always have been. And I have long blonde hair just like my favorite QB, Trevor. But it just seems like the equivalent to last year, and the spread seems way too big here.
Yeah.
Do you think this Ohio State team is better than last year's team and better equipped to beat Clemson? I don't think so.
No, but it's just the circumstances where Fields just having a crappy game, them discovering this dimension of them playing through their running backs is and in like an open field way.
I'll say this. We don't know this. This is, you know, maybe likely not. It's too small of a sample set, but what if Trey Sermon is better than J.K. Dobbins?
I mean, he could be.
He could be.
So let's pull up this Clemson money.
I like this wildness. I like this wildness, Joel. I mean, I made my wild call with Cincy.
And like Ohio State, they cruised through the entire regular season.
All four games.
Just for this game.
Yeah, it's and they're going to be fresh. No injuries that I know of. Maybe I'll need to check in on that. But
and so I would push back on the fact that Ohio State cruised through the regular season. They struggled against a healthy Indiana.
Yeah, they didn't cruise. They struggled against every like ranked team they played.
Yeah. Had it not been for a pick six that Indiana threw, that game goes to overtime or Indiana wins it outright in regulation.
Yeah, but that's against Michael Penix Jr. when he's looking like a first-round NFL draft pick.
It's a wild season, man. It's a wild season. 2 games ago barely even matters.
Yeah.
But honestly, plus 245 odds, That's great value for the Buckeyes. And the Buckeyes, this is the lowest they've been valued throughout the entire NCAA season. If you were ever going to bet on them, this is the week.
Wow. I like it, Joel. I like it.
Again, I've told you guys where my money will be, but the facts, they call
yeah, I think
out
Clemson's,
to me.
I personally think Clemson's smarter, but I just respect. I just have respect for the wildness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, can we get stupid here? Can we throw out a sweetheart teaser for these games?
It's Stupid Tuesday already. It's Stupid Tuesday, isn't it?
You tease the favorites in both mm-hmm. these games. You tease the over in both these games, 66. So you have Alabama getting 7. You got Clemson. They can lose by up to 6 points. And then you got overs of 53. I don't know. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it seems like this should be a bigger deal. It feels like this bowl game has really fallen off just given the matchup here. Like, I remember watching Alabama, Michigan in the Gator Bowl.
Yeah. Why is this the last one we're covering?
Oh, no. We have more.
We have more. Good. Okay. I was about to say, like, yeah, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Bama, North Carolina State, Kentucky.
We do them in chronologic order. We're okay. Done with New Year's Day. Nice, we're on to January 2nd.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, resolution's broken.
So we have the Gator Bowl, Kentucky -3.5 versus NC State. And fans everywhere will be asking, which team is actually good? I don't know.
They're fine. I don't know. I like Kentucky's defense, so I'd maybe like lean toward them a little bit, but mostly just who cares? Dang.
That's not your job here. You can't say who cares.
Yeah, I call your bookie up and tell him who gives a crap. Yeah.
So NC State was the only team to beat Liberty, and they barely beat Liberty. They had to block a field goal from the Flames at the end. If it wasn't for that, Liberty would have been undefeated. NC State have been very good, if not one of the – probably the third best team in the ACC when they've been healthy. Third or fourth.
Would you put them over like – well, I don't think Miami's that good, but I think Miami's –
No, I think I would put them above Miami. Yeah. Like them and Miami are around third, and then you UNC second, Clemson first.
Come on.
I mean, I go Clemson first. You said UNC second?
Yeah.
Yeah, UNC second, and Clemson's an amazing team. UNC is a good team, and I honestly do. Well, Notre Dame, I guess, is the ACC this season.
That's true.
They don't suck, but they might as well suck. Like, they're not good. Miami's not good. I don't think North Carolina State's good. And I don't think Kentucky's good either, though.
Yeah, but in this game, you just want to ride with the NC State money line. We've seen them blow up and, like, have an ability to dominate teams through the air. And in what I think is a toss-up, you just want to take the – under the team with where you think the value is.
They'll air it out. Kentucky can be ball hawks, though.
Yeah.
Look for some picks. Look for some turnovers from that defense.
I can't imagine.
They do have a decent defense. Kentucky is – what's the line?
The line is 3.5, NC State.
Oh, dang.
NC State's getting the points. They're the dog. Kentucky's favored.
Oh, yeah. Then go NC State.
Yeah, take the dog.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
3 times a week. I take the dog for a walk 3 times a day. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to have animal abuse at my doorstep right now.
Or Tilly.
Yeah. And okay, I don't know if this game is on. I think it could get canceled. It's the Outback Bowl. Indiana is 6.5-point favorites against what I think is Ole Miss.
What you think is Ole Miss?
I mean, Lane Kiffin just said, yeah, our team has COVID. We've got opt-outs. I mean... I don't think the spread is really reflecting that right now. So
you think it should be higher for Indiana even without Penix?
I mean, just given the dire state of news that's coming out of Ole Miss, I'm inclined to just blindly take Indiana here.
I don't know. I think Indiana's going to win. I think Ole Miss might cover that. They got it. That offense is good. That's a quick hurry up offense. I think. I don't like. Other than Ohio State, has Indiana faced an offense like Ole Miss? I don't think they have this season.
But let's think about the SEC this year. There has been so much COVID in this conference. we have seen Ed Orgeron, his entire team had it, and you didn't say till after the fact.
Well, they couldn't find a mask big enough to fit on his round head.
That is true. That was one of the widely reported stories in August. I'll never forget it. But they ended up taking him off those statues of Confederate generals at Stone Mountain, and they gave one to Ed, so we're all happy.
Big mask made of stone. Yeah.
But you know what? How often has it been that an SEC football coach acknowledged, yo, COVID is wrecking the program. It must be so bad there. And Indiana, they're kind of like, they had such a bad run of luck. I think a win here would mean so much to that program. I mean, a win in the Outback Bowl is nothing for most programs. For Indiana, is that a 30-year high?
I don't know. Yeah, I think you're correct there, and that's something I wasn't really taking into account to it. I think this team is like a team that had a ton of potential and did not realize that entire potential, had some setbacks, some injuries. They want this win. They'll get this win. I just think Ole Miss is going to cover.
Well, their season has been an entire 30-year potential. I mean, if you can get this at 6.5, Indiana has only let up, like, since Penix Jr. went out, Indiana has only let up. Still, their defense is good enough. They've only given up 11 points and 6 points.
Yeah.
Like in the two games without Penix, like I think they can slow down Ole Miss, and Ole Miss doesn't have a good enough defense to stop Indiana.
Their defense will not stop Indiana. I don't think that Indiana will slow down Ole Miss. To be honest,
I think they will.
I think that. I mean, you have your weird games where like Matt Corral like threw 5 picks or whatever. But I think that offense is a legit one. I think Lane Kiffin's one of the best offensive minds in the country, and I think that offense. Again, I have not looked into as much of the COVID stuff, I guess, that you are, Joel. If they're all wrecked, I guess I can see it. But Ole Miss at its best would beat Indiana without Michael Penix.
Yeah,
but with Michael Penix healthy, it's a whole different story. But I don't think Ole Miss is going to be at its best, so I think they're merely going to cover. And I think they're going to score a lot on Indiana.
Yeah, and it's really just the COVID stuff for me. Like, those coaches, for that news to be public knowledge, and it's just kind of hitting the fan now, I think it might be, I think this game might end up getting canceled. And if it does, it's just because Ole Miss might just want that check. And they're just, that's the win for this team at the state of the program. It sounds like it is. So I'm going to back Indiana here for the first time all season.
I think, well, so last year in Indiana played in another bowl game against a team from the SEC. They played Tennessee and lost 23-22 to the Volunteers. So I don't know if that weighs on anyone's predictions or minds, but I still think this year's Indiana Hoosier team is better than last year's. And
oh, without a doubt. But I think Penix is just the main factor of that.
Yeah.
And then my great what if for this year, Penix doesn't get hurt. I would have loved to seen a healthy Hoosier team matched up against Oklahoma or Florida.
Yes.
Would have been great.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing.
And who knows? I mean, maybe Penix comes back healthy next season and we see our Big Ten champion, Indiana Hoosiers. Wouldn't that be nice?
No, I think the Terps got it next year.
Shut up, Donnie.
Dang. Hey, Talia. Talia's lighting up. I love Talia Tagovailoa.
Yeah, he's probably the best quarterback in the whole family at this point. Okay.
Probably the best one in college, but yeah, you know, he was. Tell me all about Matt Stafford. How's he doing? Are you lighting it up?
I've just been outlining a sad essay about Matt Stafford.
He's lighting up
a
weed pipe while he eats a Whopper right now.
That's literally what you're doing before you
I'm not paid to be an athlete.
Eli's insult for Matt Stafford, I will point out to our viewing audience, was to point out what he was doing.
Okay. It came, I would like to point out to an audience that it came after an unwarranted Tua insult.
See, we like to put together a podcast to make our listeners feel like a parent on a very long road trip. Sorry, Sam. Okay, so let's get back on track. Let's go to the Fiesta Bowl. Is there a team less qualified to be in their bowl game than the Oregon Ducks?
Dude, Oregon sucks.
Oregon sucks.
Oregon sucks is more like it. man, they just kind of lucked into that championship. I don't think that they're a better team than USC. I think they just beat them that day. I don't think Cristobal is he's fine. I don't know. I don't think they're going to win this game, and I hope they don't. And I'm going to like to see Iowa State beat them.
And this is kind of the game. This is a winnable game of the Big 12 championship. Iowa State just lost. It's like a Iowa State, you know, you got Matt Campbell. He's turned this program around. Now he's against this hyped big budget program that doesn't always deliver.
But it seems like maybe Brock Purdy will be on. I think that Oregon's defense isn't like lights out or anything like that.
But I mean, with Breece Hall is might be the best running back in the country.
He's one of. I put him in the top three probably. I would go ETN. I don't in no particular order. ETN, Najee Harris, and Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Oh, and that kid from UTSA is really good too. McCormick, Sincere McCormick, is that really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's just Iowa State. Like that one, I just look at it. I've watched enough of Oregon over this season to just think they're not qualified for this stage. And I think Iowa State's going to give them the boot here.
Yeah, they should just dissolve as a team.
I mean, you got time here. This is January 2nd. Put in the winner of Florida, Oklahoma. Make them play again.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be great. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Or give it to Iowa State and Liberty, Iowa State. I don't know. Anything except, ain't no one trying to watch this.
Yeah. This,
I will watch it. But
I will be recording this and fast forwarding through it. This is the time during the weekend where you go out to lunch with your old lady. You make her feel special. Thank you, college football, for giving us Iowa State, Oregon.
Oh, shout out to Chuba, too, Donnie. We forgot about Chuba.
Chuba. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the Orange Bowl, UNC at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a 6.5-point favorite. Are they crippled with opt-outs? What's going on here?
I don't know. This is a tough one to call. 6.5. They always get it just a little bit higher than I'm comfortable with. I think A&M's going to win. I'm just debating about the 6.5. I don't think UNC is going to win. They're good, though. I don't know. I don't see that. You know, they got a great run game. I've talked up Sam Howell as being kind of an underappreciated quarterback this season. It all comes down to it's kind of like with Texas with Ellinger. It depends on which Kellen Mond shows up. If Kellen Mond is lights out, I think they win and cover easily. They might struggle though. They had some nasty looking wins. They're a really good team. I think maybe one of the top four teams in the country. But they had some nasty wins. They might lose, but I would predict they win. What do you like about the cover here? Do you call them the cover? I'm nervous.
I love the cover because not only is it the more talented team, not only is it the more motivated team.
Yes, they'll be out to
But the spread is less than a touchdown. And let's throw in the factors that this is Texas A&M. They're a big-time SEC power, but, you know, you look at the opt-outs, you look at who's sitting, UNC is kind of being affected by that more than Texas A&M is.
I just like Mac Brown. I never count Mac out.
And I'm with you there. It's just like,
but no, A&M's gonna win, and a touchdown. That's I would have called A&M to win this by like honestly probably a touchdown. I'm just nervous to say. I'm just nervous to recommend it. You know? Yeah, I think yeah. You know what? Yeah, they'll win by a touchdown.
So
I think I'm on that too. A&M plays in a tougher conference and is giving up less points per game.
Yeah.
Great point. They're giving up a touchdown, an entire touchdown less than UNC is giving up. The Tar Heels have some bad losses on their resume this year too. They lost to Virginia.
Yeah.
Like
and we've talked about I just talked about how soft the ACC is. And that's why your point about the SEC, even though, you know, the defense aren't quite what they were before, definitely, you know, tougher, like you're saying, than ACC.
21 points per game.
They lost to Florida State, right?
Yeah, they lost to Florida State and they lost to Virginia.
Yeah.
Like when they play this team, if A&M is on, it could be two touchdowns. It
oh,
could
yeah,
be
100%. Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. I'm just going conservative for the betting and all that.
But here's the deal. Earlier in the season, I watched Notre Dame play UNC, and they kind of outclassed them. The talent level just wasn't there. And I've spent the last 2 weeks like pretty convinced that Texas A&M is better than Notre Dame. So
yeah, I think they are. I think they are. Yeah.
Yeah, I like this. And you know, if you don't like the spread, there's a great tease on the table for January 2nd. You can tease A&M and Indiana.
Yeah, I tease A&M or Indiana or A&M and Iowa State would probably be my January 2nd tease.
Yeah, and this is almost like I might take this A&M money line and tie it to every one of my NFL Week 17 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It just seems strong enough. I think they've got everything in the world to prove.
And Texas got canceled because of that old Troy Aikman brute commercial where he lets a woman tackle him.
That is true.
What a great commercial. All right, as you were.
That was probably the only time Troy Aikman let a woman touch him. I'm sorry. I know who all the gay quarterbacks are. So sue me. Oh, wait. That's something you can be sued for. Dang it. Is that another letter from the Aaron Rodgers estate? Oh, boy.
Wait, is what the Aaron Rodgers estate?
A letter from him.
A letter from him?
Yeah, I mean, that's a reference.
Well, he's not sending it to his family.
He's got to send out some sort of correspondence at the holidays. So here's what we like in the big six, okay? We like you. I like Texas A&M. I like Iowa State. And I like Oklahoma. That's not going on. And then we like the Clemson-Alabama tease, Auburn moneyline, Georgia, and then San Jose State. Favorite heavy, but it's bowl season, so that's just how we're feeling.
Or Cincy moneyline. That's another dog.
Yeah, I mean, we can agree to disagree on that one.
Which money long?
Cincinnati.
Dolphins? Oh.
Yeah, Dolphins Super Bowl. I'm going to tie the Clemson Tigers
into the Tua Dolphins Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, I hope you have a great slate this weekend. I hope we get to get together and watch a little bit. I'm around New Year's Day. I'm around the 2nd.
My pick is the Bearcats.
Well,
Cincy, baby.
We can just watch it while glaring at each other. And
we should watch it. Or yeah, we'll see what's up.
Yeah, I almost got an invite there. But
wait, which one? I guess we should do this off air.
Yeah, probably off air. But I am having Jeff over for New Year's Eve. Sorry.
Almost got an invite.
No, you're invited. I'm going to text you.
Yeah, I'm not coming.
Okay, cool.
I'm just kidding. But I'll come. Yeah, I'll come. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. It's been a real pleasure to share the season with you, and I hope we get to go in depth on the national championship game.
Yes. We're going to do a deep dive, baby.
Okay, so it might not be a Wednesday, but it's been a wild Tuesday, and thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you. Am I leaving for good now?
Yeah, I'll do. I just got a couple football picks, and we are outie.
I hear you, baby. Bye, Donnie. Bye, Joel. Thank you.
Yes. Hey, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Later, Eli Sayers. And you know what? I'm telling people to subscribe to the Props Network on YouTube. I think we have some really good clips. I think we figured out the formula, and I think it's going to be the kind of content you want delivered to you every single day. So here's the deal. Daily NBA picks. We have the props drop. We have these specific college football game previews. We've been doing this since September. We've figured out kind of what you guys want. So we're ready to give it to you. Just smash that subscribe button. Hit subscribe on the iTunes or Spotify for TPN The Walk-On. Maybe I can talk Sammy Boy into putting out my daily NBA picks there. We will see. I'm just kind of thinking of that right now. But yeah, do that. And, you know, I don't even have to do an ad read now. But hey, BetMGM, I do my research there. They've got a great code with WalkOn20. They will match your deposit. And I love their Money Monday Club. I love the specials they build in. I love how they offer out parlays. And if you do want gambling to be just an enjoyable experience, which is why I do this, I think they're a great place to go. And they'll match your deposit with code WalkOn20. Plus, when you log onto their site, there's a really fun picture of Jamie Foxx. So a lot of their competitors, they don't have Jamie Foxx. They've got some C-list celebrities. They've got you know, I'm not going to say any names, but it's not Jamie Foxx. They got an Oscar winner there. They've got best promos, and they've got a code for the walk-on, walk-on 20. Must be 21 or older to gamble online. If you or someone you know have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER today. Or if you're in Tennessee or Indiana like Donnie, you call the Red Line.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Yeah, go Tennessee.
Go Tennessee. When's the last time Vandy won the SEC?
When's the last time Vandy won a football game is an even better question. They lost every game this season. I think they lost all but one last year.
Yeah, I gotta find out that last Vandy SEC championship. So
I'm not sure it's ever happened.
There's only one way to find out, and that's to go to the library and ask the librarian. Okay, so let's talk NFL. Week 17 is notoriously a bad week for gamblers. And there's a lot of teams with something to play for. I think I might go the parlay route. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably worth it. Everything can be crazy. Teams are playing for wins. Teams are playing for playoff spots. I'm of the mindset that I like to bet on what teams are playing for. You know, that's sometimes better than going for a number, because who can lose on that? And so I think we can make some money on these parlays.
Yeah, so it's kind of staggered in our favor a little bit, that most of the action's actually in the 4:30 slate, and hopefully we do well on our college football picks. But, you know, let's start at 1 o'clock, and I'm going to throw the Ravens into a moneyline parlay with the Cowboys. Cowboys are 3-point favorites versus the Giants. I saw a different Cowboys team last weekend. I saw Zeke Elliott back from the dead, and I see Daniel Jones at quarterback for the New York Giants again. So, yeah, Cowboys, Sam is showing last week, I believe. You might, but yeah, Cowboys, Ravens. Ravens are -800, but there's value there.
I think the Cowboys win that division. If you're just, I've just seen, like, so much goes wrong for Washington all the time. Why wouldn't the Cowboys win the division this year? They're peaking at the right time. Washington's not better than Philly.
No, they're not. And there's Jalen Hurts playing spoiler. The Eagles, they truly blew that game against Dallas last weekend. I watched the entire thing. I still can't tell you exactly what happened. Like, Dallas was just getting long touchdowns every time I looked up. But here, Dallas and the Ravens at -115. I love it. And you can actually throw the Ravens into a sweetheart parlay. I like a 13-pointer. You have Ravens. You have Titans against Texans -7.5.
Easy win there.
And then you have the gift of gifts. You have Aaron Rodgers trying to deny a playoff berth to Mitchell Trubisky. Love that. And then you throw in Russell Wilson, and he's facing San Francisco on the road with the potential to get a one seed.
Yeah, that's... I think there's a lot of teams that are peaking at the right time for the playoffs. The Seahawks are one of them. The Bills are another one. And I would even throw the Ravens in there.
Oh, absolutely. And we go deep in the text threads, Donnie. I have been on the Ravens this entire time, and they're peaking at the right time. I told you, they'll be a vaunted defense. They'll be better than Pittsburgh by the time the postseason comes around. And Baltimore's getting to the postseason, and they're going to win a playoff game, so I'm throwing them in everything. Baltimore has won 11 straight as a double-digit favorite. They've covered 11 straight as a double-digit favorite. So throw them in the sweetheart, throw them with the Cowboys. And again, we're moving on to the 4 o'clock slate. I like a money line parlay of Packers and Seahawks.
Yeah. I mean, that's easy. Both teams trying to get the number one seed, which means all the more, like, it means so much more this season, because that first round bye, teams are so much more likely to make a deep run in the playoffs with that first round bye. They need everything. The players want to rest. This has been a hard season. This season in particular, the players need a break to going into it. And now there's only one up for grabs. There's not two. So both of these teams are peaking at the right time. Green Bay looks like the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now, with good reason. They blew out Tennessee. They're a phenomenal team.
They are great. They have that off, and like, they've got that offense. They're built to score the last possession of the game. And like, you want to talk about, there's a lot of up and coming teams to fall in love with. Green Bay looks great. Seattle's defense suddenly looks to be alive, and we can expect all these teams to take care of business. So there's no better way to spend a Sunday than by parlaying Rodgers and Wilson. It's just the way to go. And if you really want to get nuts, if you want to get hog wild, throw the Saints in there and it becomes plus 161. So I think I'll be on both of those.
I think that's fun. I think that's a fun one to separate out and get the two teams with the Seahawks and Packers in one and the three teams in the other for plus money, just in case.
And why don't we even take it a step further? We'll start with Packers Seahawks and we'll put $60 on that. We'll put $30 on Packers Seahawks Saints. Mm-hmm. And then we are going to throw another $30 on Packers Seahawks Saints and Titans. And you know what? That's plus 235.
That's fun. I like that a lot.
That is really fun. And you know what? Let's talk about teams that we want to avoid this weekend. Everyone has things to play for. There's going to be some odd endings here. And I want to caution the listeners, the viewers, if you're on YouTube, against the Indianapolis Colts and the Cleveland Browns. We saw the Jags tank. We saw them be competitive in a lot of games and then really kind of take their foot off the gas. And it's just plus 14. They have been outwardly tanking. Now they're going to actually have incentive to try and win a game. I could see weirder things happening than them winning against Indy.
I might even throw some on Jacksonville there. They've been competitive in a lot of their games, have been once, like most of their games have been one score games. And now that they don't need to lose to get Trevor, they're going to go out there and compete with Indy, I think.
Yeah. And you really saw them like intentionally screw themselves last week. They had a QB competition during the week with a game on Sunday.
Well, guess who Jacksonville's only win is of the season also?
Indianapolis.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Make it a Colt bookend. No one wants to see Phil Rivers in the playoffs. Out of all these teams, I mean, they're maybe the most talented, but you know Phil Rivers is not going on a run.
No chance. He threw a pick at the end of that game. I felt good as a Ravens fan. As a Ravens fan, I needed either the Colts to lose or the Browns to lose on Sunday. And once the Steelers came back and got that lead, I felt very confident because I knew Phillip Rivers could not go without throwing a pick. And sure enough, he threw a pick right into the arms of Pittsburgh safety on a deep ball that wasn't even close.
And the other team you got to avoid here, it's just, there's too much history. There's too much at stake. There's too much weight. Don't bet on the Browns. I did Absolutely it last not. Week. I bet on the Browns early when they were going to coast to victory against a Jets team that was riding high because they can complete a 7-yard pass to Landry whenever they want. That was such a crazy decision. The NFL truly screwed over Cleveland thinking they were going to win this game. A Browns win is never for granted.
Absolutely not. This was it definitely cost me something, but I was able to get out of it with a nice hedge on the Jets. But we still, I mean, they lost by a touchdown to the Jets when they needed that game to make the playoffs. How can you have any faith in them?
And now I know it's a new culture in Cleveland. I know they got screwed over, but Indianapolis and Cleveland, they both have like a pretty big collapse to bounce back from with so much at stake. So maybe you can bet those guys on the points. Maybe you think they're going to bounce back, but don't tie those guys to anything.
The Browns have Pittsburgh. I mean, and Pittsburgh wants to look good going into these last few games of the season. No, Pittsburgh still has a lot to prove. Apart from that 3-touchdown, 10-minute run last week, they have been one of the worst teams in football for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, and they're probably not going to play Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Who's the Pittsburgh backup these days? It's not Rudolph anymore.
Not Rudolph anymore. Is it Duck Hodges? Is he still on there?
Oh, it is still Mason Rudolph. So
nice. So definitely, I mean,
the worst quarterback in the NFL, mm-hmm. who was just awful to Cleveland last year, is going to go there, mm-hmm. and behind a defense that needs to show up and get their first team reps in. Mm-hmm. It scares me. Stay away.
This is a big time stay away from me.
Yeah, I just feel bad. I felt bad about the Browns all week, and that's why Brian is not here with us right now.
Yeah, Brian didn't actually get engaged. We just did not want to talk this much bad stuff about the Browns after their loss while he was here.
Yeah, thank you, Donnie, for mentioning things I deliberately didn't on the show. We love you, bud.
Oh, I thought you mentioned it earlier.
No, I haven't seen a post yet, so I didn't know if I could yet. So you're cute. Well, you pull off that teal shirt, and thank you for climbing into the John Wilkes with me.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome.
All right. Well, for Donnie Sengstack, for Eli Sayers, this has been just such a fun episode. Great info, great bets, and let's lose them all. For TPN, the walk-on, this is Joel Walkowski walking off.